Might go see a singer, songwriter, dancer, model, actress. She's a musician because she plays the guitar and the flute and award-winning. No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about this lady.
A. Murray. A. Murray. Murray.
Ah! We're so pleased. A. Marie's on the line right now. Hello, darling. How are you?
Hey, you're so funny. But you know what? It's so exciting because, you know, the mix that you did, I was like, oh, yeah. So it brings it back for me, too.
I'm
glad. Some of the stuff that I've done. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that jam.
I'm glad you like that. That pleases me immensely. And before we kick off, you've got to do just one thing for me, because one of our presenters on the station, right, when I say loves A. Murray, okay, loves him some A. Murray. So please say hello to Mastermind for me, A. Murray.
Hey, what's up, Mastermind?
Maybe I'm going, oh, she did do that. You just made an old man very happy.
Aww.
Yeah, and he is an old man. Hey, you want to hear the things he says about me on air? I think I'm quite justified in saying that. Right, I'm so pleased to have you on. I was so excited when the interview got set up because, you know, I think you've done some great music over the years. You've got your new album coming out now, which people are saying you're coming back. But the space between your third album and your fourth album was only a year. So how can they call it a comeback?
You know, it's funny because this fourth album here, it has been for overseas, it has been maybe a year, right?
Just about a year.
Not very much, but for the States, you know, that album I didn't release in the States because I had switched labels. So it was kind of like more of a space for the States side than for the rest of the world.
All right, I see. I wasn't actually going to ask you that. The switch came between 2007. From there, you switched from Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any like major major upset while you switched labels?
No, actually, it was just more like just feeling like the time was ready to move. You know, I felt like that the company was changing a lot as far as, well, it had always been kind of in the mode of changing. Like ever since I first got there, they were always trying to like get a secure team.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept changing and changing all the time. Like, it never really settled. So I just felt like it wasn't going to settle anytime soon. And I just kind of, you know, I had a great relationship with L.A. Reid and, you know, over the years. So, you know, we talked and everything. And it just seemed like a good idea. So made the switch.
Well, for me,
it's like a radio station drop, right?
Yeah. I'm going to pick the bits out later on. I'll find the bits that I want, and then, trust me, I can put them together. I'm a whiz when it comes to mixing down that stuff. All right.
I believe it.
Your album for me, I say, your favorite one for me is Touch. I tell you, I couldn't put it down. One thing on there is just, I used to do some crazy dancing things to that track. And trust me, I'm not of an age where I really should be dancing like that. But as soon as I hear the first bars come on for that track, I don't care if my foot is hurting me in the club, I am up on that dance floor dancing to that.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
So which one for you? Which tracks and which album is your favorite?
From this album?
No, from in your album's period.
It's kind of hard, you know. I mean, one thing's definitely always a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a record that I did on the overseas album. A lot of people didn't get to hear it stateside. Some people did, but a record I did called Paint Me Over.
Mm.
Is one off of my last album. And there's a record that I did with Carl Thomas called Can We Go that I really, really like a lot too. Yeah,
Carl Thomas, great voice, great singer. Like that. So that they're your favorite ones. So the album, which one would you pick? Touch. Touch. Sorry, which is
it? Oh, but you know what? There's another one that I love too from this newest album that's about to come out.
Mm.
It's a record called Flag Back and another one called Higher. kind of like this rock and roll kind of feel. Yeah, to it. Very raw.
We've got some. There's a couple of people have emailed in, actually asking you about Higher. I'll go for that in a second.
Oh, cool.
We've got Jaden that wants to ask a question about that, and I'm sure this guy's name can't be Screwface. Oh, Junior. The email is Screwface. I think that can not be your name. So I'll put your questions to Amory in a second, guys. Hold tight for that. We want to keep talking on first. But one thing, as I'm going to keep going about this one track for a second, okay? If you just bear with me, Amory,
because sure.
There's an award-winning track. One thing is an award-winning track, club banger, as they put it. But it's supposed to be what this is DC Go-Go. What is DC Go-Go for us poor Brits?
It had a lot of DC Go-Go incorporated into it. I mean, it was definitely that Go-Go element, and I didn't really know what. Well, first of all, it has that sound, that feel, because the way the track is looped,
yeah.
The way that the drum
the
loop pattern in there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it was actually a sample from a record that the Meters did, like in the early '70s. The '70s, and so it's kind of like actually, this is the whole thing about beauty about music is that you know you can have rock and roll, soul, and all these different genres, but there's always like this area where everything gets blurred.
Yeah,
you know, is it rock and roll or is it soul or is it you know pop or is it hip hop? You know what I mean? Like this whole blur. But the whole thing, the inspiration behind the track was definitely like a go-go thing, and the producer produced that record, Rich Harrison, from D.C.,
yeah.
Played the drums, like go-go band, so he kind of feels that, you know, he understands that whole
the whole genre.
And when people first hear go-go, they think, they don't know what it is, because it sounds like pots and pans is what usually people say.
Yeah.
Like a whole people banging a whole bunch of pots and pans, that's usually what people think at first. But there is like a rhythm, there's like a flow in there. But I think sometimes, like, the illest drummers are, like, go-go drummers.
Yeah, but I tell you, that style is very, very addictive. Beyonce did it with Crazy in Love. It's so addictive when you hear that. I mean, I think you should do, like, Stick More. Even though the new album, I'm loving that as well. I'm actually going to have it as a featured album on the show for next month because we do, like, a thing where we feature an album for a whole
Excellent.
Month. So I'm actually going to have it as a featured album because, yeah, I the tracks in it are really good. We just played Pretty Brown Eyes. I like Heard 'Em All. I like it, the remix you've done with Lil Wayne, because I actually like Lil Wayne. I'm one of the few presenters in England.
Yeah,
I do. I think he's... When I hear him start, I don't care. I listen to him. I like Lil Wayne's style. I love people that got their own style of doing things. So a lot of people are not into him, but I like him. Well, he'll be out of prison soon.
Yeah, he's been doing it for, you know, for a long time. I remember when Cash Money and it, everyone kind of was familiar with them, and I guess starting around like in 98. And I always liked that whole crew, like BG, Lil Money, Young Turk, everybody.
Yeah.
And he always had like a really great style, and it's kind of like evolved over time. And I think he's very talented.
Yeah, I really do as well. I totally agree with you. And you mentioned before that, you know, the previous albums, your first two albums, you worked with Rich Harrison because he actually took you under his wing, didn't he? He was like your mentor.
Yeah, we started working together probably. Well, we started, I can't remember exactly when, but it was a long time ago. It was, we came up with a demo, and I mean, before, you know, I was really in the business, and I think he had a placement with Mary J. Blige once,
yeah, but he was working
with
her.
He was still relatively new as well. So it was really just taking a chance on each other, and we just really believed in each other, you know, and I think we really have a great chemistry and definitely want to get together again. I know he's been working with his groups because he has
Rich Girls.
Girl group and like a solo guy singer, but I definitely think that it'd be really cool to work together again. Maybe the next project.
He's good. He's a good guy. You've done some good stuff with him. Not saying the other stuff wasn't good. I'm loving the other stuff, and I'm loving
really
this album
talented.
Now.
He's,
and yeah, he is. He's talented, but he's not even on this other album and this new album. And as far as I'm concerned, it's you know it's brilliant. I love it. So even though he's not on it, Amory's still done her stuff. You're still kicking, right? I want to, before we get into the album bit, let's go on to this gossip side a little bit, because I want to know, you're hot, okay? Right, I have to say this, you are hot.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, come on, I'm a woman, but I can see, all right, Amory is hot. So let's dig some gossip and find out, which of the artists over the years have been hitting on you? Come on, tell us. Come on, Amory,
names. Honestly, that's never really happened. I'm serious.
Really?
I'm serious, I've never gone to someone like, yo, what's up? No, like, everyone's always been really sweet and really nice. But I don't really remember any time anyone was like, "Hey, what's up?"
Really? I think that's kind of weird.
A lot of artist guys and stuff—they're really shy. I think.
Get out of here! Must be when they come to London. They must switch as soon as they get to London, because they're not shy when they're over here in the nightclubs. Trust me. The other day, Diddy was over here. He was in a club. Before he come, they had to play 30 minutes of his track, 30 minutes of his music, and then they had to spray the club every 20 minutes with his perfume. No word of a lie.
Get out of here!
No word of a lie, Emery. Trust me. That's what he did. 30 minutes.
That is so funny.
Imagine 30 minutes
that
of
is,
Diddy.
That is hilarious.
And then have to smell his perfume every 20 minutes. I'll be gone.
I guess creating that moment, right? Creating that moment.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows I'm here. Oh, please. So that'll give you some ideas. So when you come over, you got to do that. Which actually leads into one of my questions as well, actually, because which one now? Let me see if I get the right guy. Wants to know when you are planning to... Ah, there you go. It's actually Jaden. Jaden wants to know when you're actually planning... If you're planning to tour the UK, and are you thinking of releasing Higher as a single here? That's Jaden. He wants to know that.
I definitely would love for Higher to be a single. I guess it depends on what the label really wants to do, because, you know, artists will always kind of know what we want, and then the labels get into the logistics of everything. But that's definitely something that I always envision being a single, so hopefully so. The album will be coming out in June, but I think right now we're kind of scheduling me to come out into the UK around the end of April, around that time.
Okay. Oh, brilliant. That's soon then.
So I'll be out there pretty soon too.
Okay, so hear that, Jaden? That is really soon. The end of April, she's hoping to come over here. We'll definitely keep you posted on this on the station as well to let you know. So I hope that answered your question, Jaden. Let me get the other one. My eyes are so bad. Can't see the screen. Got another one here, and it's from Junior. And he wants to know which direction your next album will be and what was the inspiration for Higher?
So, Junior, Higher. If I could just say, what's up, Junior? I should say, what's up to Jaden, too. Hey, Jaden.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that.
The inspiration for Higher, it was pretty much just a feeling. You know, I worked with that on that track with Warren Campbell. And Warren Campbell, he's done a lot of tracks and everything. One of the things that I didn't know about Warren is that he's such a musician. Like, he plays so many instruments. So when I was talking to him about the things that I wanted to do and how I wanted to incorporate a lot of guitar, but it was just kind of hard to kind of put together the right sounds. Some producers, a lot of them don't play, so, you know, I didn't want a fake guitar, so it was just kind of hard. And I was like, I just want something mean, you know, just some mean, gritty, raw, you know, energy, and I want some guitar licks, and I want a dope riff. Like, I want a signature riff for the record. Yeah. So we just like messed around, and he just started playing stuff, and then went to drums, and the song, it wrote itself so fast, because while he was playing the drums and just figuring that out, I was just hearing stuff in my head. So as soon as he came out the booth, out of the live room with all the instruments, then I went in and then laid down like some ideas. So it happened pretty quick. And it's just about, you know, being in a relationship where you're kind of taken for a ride. You know, someone's constantly playing with your feelings. It's like a whole yo-yo effect, up, down, up, down, up, down, that thing. And the next album, because I'm always already thinking about sound, the next album will definitely want to incorporate that, as well as mixing some of the vibe that I had in Because I Love It as well, with those sounds and arrangements and harmonies and just song structure. So it'll be pretty interesting.
So in the time, I hope that, before I say that, I hope that's answered your question there, Jay. Junior, I'm getting confused with who I was talking to now. The track underneath Higher is the one I'm playing at the minute, but I'm going to play it at the end when I finish speaking to Amarie, seeing as that's the one that they've asked for. Hey, look at that. It's really nice, isn't it? Because what I love about when someone brings an album out is that, fair enough, like you said, the record companies, they know which ones they want to put out as a single, even though you have your choices. But me, as a presenter, I like to pick out what I like as well. So even though I might play the single, I would also end up playing like three or four tracks off of the album rather than just sticking to the single or the next one that comes out. Because then everyone can get a feel of what the album's about, and that encourages them to go and buy it, kind of thing. So
Exactly. You get to know more of the vibe. And whenever I'm putting together an album, it's never like throwing a bunch of songs together. Like, for me, it's always about the body of work, like the whole album together. I always see it as a whole and not as, you know, just like a, just things that are just like a, I don't want to just say like a big potpourri of stuff or, you know, but it's just not a compilation of just different songs, just one thought. So it's very important to me that people get to hear everything.
I hear you on that one. Right. Well, hold the line for a bit. Please don't go. I won't hold you up for too long, but I actually want to play that Higher track quickly if you don't mind, for the people.
Oh, that'd be great. I give you all my head till there's nothing left. And
Tell you what, this one track, it suits us right here on Entertainment Central with our Cherry Breakwells and that we always have on. We love a bit of rock on here. Much to Gordon's disgust. So we turned up the guitars just now, trust me, Amory. So you definitely, you've done it now. When you're singing this, oh, you must be so looking forward to performing this track on stage.
I love performing that record. I do. I really do love performing that record. That record, really indicative of just where I am right now. It's weird because, you know, artists, we're always like 20 steps ahead of ourselves, because by the time we put everything together, mm-hmm. it's all done, and then the record company like gets it all together, and you know, you do your photo shoots and you do all this and that in preparation, sure. yada yada. Mm. Months have passed by yeah. since you did it.
Yeah.
So you're already, the music that's inside of you is kind of, you're thinking of different stuff, and sometimes it sounds different. Even with this album, it started, stuff that I was doing towards the last part of the album started to sound a little bit different from the other part. Like, Higher was one of the last ones I did.
Right.
And, you know, I had to turn that album in, so it's almost probably good that we didn't keep going and going, because the album probably would have sounded like two totally different things.
I hear ya.
So, that was the thought. This is the first time that I've ever created an album, and at the end of the recording process, or at least for this particular album, I'm not like burnt out. Like, usually when I record an album, I'm like, if we don't finish this album, I'm gonna go crazy. Like, I'm ready to get out of the studio and get out into the light. You know, I'm crazy at that point. But this one, I wasn't, like, everything wasn't done yet, but I'm happy for that, because it's kind of an extension of where I've been, you know, because I've always touched like Gotta Work and One Thing, that soul rock and roll vibe has always been in there a little, but it kind of went all the way, like on Something with Higher.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the hopes of not being too schizophrenic, it's probably good that we finished this album when we did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know what, I like it. It's a good look. The whole album blends together really well, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
And
you have to,
when it's out, people, make sure you're going to be running, because it's not. You said it's coming out end of May. You're coming over
end of April.
Yeah.
All right,
so let's make sure.
And I can't wait, because I love London.
Oh yeah.
I love London. I love the UK. I did a whole tour all throughout the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just really awesome. I mean, I think we almost went into Wales.
Oh, wow. Oh, please. Yeah, even Sade's laughing at that one. Yeah, and it's don't go Wales.
No, it was really awesome. Like, the whole countryside. I went from south of UK all the way to almost, like, Wales. And, I mean, it was just really amazing. Like, the language, the accent, is like music to my ears. So I just love to listen to everybody talking.
It's funny, though.
I'm like, why don't we sound like that?
Oh, please. It's funny. You go to Wales, right? Welsh people actually sound like they come from the Caribbean, man. they sound
get
like
out of
they,
here.
They do. They sound like they come from the Caribbean. It's quite funny when you hear the Welsh accent. I laugh when I hear it. No offense to any Welsh people out there, by the way. But
now,
yeah, but
now it's funny, because one of my childhood friends, I got to give a big shout out to her and her family. Her name's Georgiana Larson, and her family is from Wales. Her mother, and so I was kind of familiar a little bit. But it's funny, because when you're from the States, you just think everyone sounds the same. Then you go to the UK and you're talking to people who are, you know, from there, and they're just telling you how everyone can tell where everyone is from just by the accent. And not just like here in the States, where it's like, oh, you're from the north or the south, but like, oh, you're from this part of town.
Yeah.
And you're from that part of town. Yeah. Like, it's just such a strong thing, but I think it's just amazing, and it's beautiful. And I'm always practicing my accent whenever I come over.
Oh, don't.
Like, I listen to everybody, and then I just start miming them. And they're like, everything they say, I just start saying what they said.
don't turn into Madonna. Madonna turned
real.
Yeah, she turned well English. Very English. She was even more English than I was when she came over. It was quite funny.
Yeah, when I'm actually with you in person, Julie, I'm going to be like, Julianne, so it's so good to be here.
And I'll just laugh at you and let you get on with it.
No, it's a lot of fun, but I'm like, I'm always practicing my accent.
Hey, hey, I have to say, sorry, I'll stop you there because that laugh you did, that was Sade's laugh. That certainly weren't mine. She does that. That's her laugh.
Does she?
Yeah, she laughs like that. It's quite funny. You know you do, Sade. We do. I have to say, I've got an email here for you. And do you know what? I totally have to agree with you, Misha, when you say this, because I used to be a bass player. I love saying this on there. I used to be a bass player myself. And as I said to you, Amarie plays the guitar and also plays the flute. Okay. So Misha, Amarie, she's emailed in to say that she caught you playing the electric guitar at one of your concerts. She said it was hot.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, I mean, by no means a master or anything close to that. I'm just starting out on that whole thing, and you know, there's a lot of people who've been playing for such a long time, like Warren and a couple of the guys that were in some of the sessions that were just will blow your mind. But I will tell you, when I started playing and I started practicing on the acoustic guitar first, because I heard that's better for you, and my hands were like crazy looking. But
yeah,
when I played the electric guitar, I'm telling you, I said, this instrument, and mind you, I've played the flute in the orchestra when I was younger and everything, but and this instrument says everything that I want to say without me having to say it. Like, it's all the emotion that's inside without me having to use my voice. Like, it's just, I was addicted. I'd always be in the car sometimes, I'd be like, I miss my guitar.
I hear. It's an extension,
so
isn't
awesome.
It? It's like an extension of what you can do already with the singers. I know that with the bass. I haven't played for years, and I stare at it sometimes and think, oh, man, I know once I start playing you again, that's it. I'm gone, but I have to be ready for the
higher
hands.
You got to get back on that, Julie. You got to get back on that.
Yeah,
wonder. Because you know that feeling of where it's just all in your face and that emotion. It's just your hands do all the talking, and it's just like this instrument just, it releases all the emotion, and you know, in a different way. Like, you know you need to get back on that.
Yeah, I know I do, definitely. Well, Michelle wants to know, are you going to get back on it? She wants to know, are you going to play it some more on stage?
Yeah, I think I definitely will. You know, of course,
As you get better,
it makes me just a little nervous. You know, it's a little scary sometimes because it's one thing to play, you know, in rehearsal and play, you know, in your own room, and then you know, all of a sudden you get in front of people and it just can be kind of scary. I mean, it's even I get really nervous playing it for my parents. I'm like, Mommy, Daddy, listen to this, and I'm like, oh wait a minute, hold on, wait, okay, wait. It was different. It was better when I was doing it by myself.
Oh, that sounds like that's what you do when you're a kid, isn't it? You get really scared and then you do that. Oh, I've done it better upstairs. What? Let me just go upstairs. I'm coming back, right? You actually got like a really good talent in family. You've got a nice close-knit family. Your sister's your lawyer. How talented are these people? That is just so cute.
Aww.
That is just so cool.
She's my lawyer, so she handles like all my stuff. She did my Def Jam deal and everything, and it's good because, you know, it's good to have people around you that you trust. I know a lot of people like to work with members in their family, and you've seen that a lot with different entertainers, and there is definitely a trust factor there. But you know, sometimes you might get in an argument about work, and now you got to see them when you get home or when you're going to the movies or regular stuff, so it's sometimes that comes with it, but, you know, it's overall, I think it's a good thing.
I hear. I got another message here for you. Look at this. Amarie blowing it up. We've got a message, right, from Chris Gunter. He says, hi, Julie. He's just played your new album, your latest album, and he loves it. She's put love it, and three kisses. So that's
thank
Chris.
Thank you.
Chris is feeling the
thank
new album
so
as well.
Thank you so much for that, Chris.
See, that's good. Now we've got you online. It's really cool because people will go out and listen now, and they're going to run and go and buy it when they hear it. Because is what you said about when you finish one album, you're taking all the pictures and doing all the footwork for it, and you've already got your next album in mind. So the time between 2007 and 2009, when you made the last one you've done now, that's the time you already had your tracks, didn't you? You already knew what you was going to put down on the new album.
Yeah, for a lot of it, yeah, you do. And you know, it's kind of, you already know the sound, you already know the vibe. Even with, for instance, like with Crush. Crush was on my last album because I love it. You know, but that's something that I was going to put on the Touch album. I just felt like I didn't know if it was too different. You know, because it was that 80s vibe. And that was, even when we put out Because I Love It, everyone wasn't totally up on the 80s thing yet. But during the time of Touch, like in 05, when one thing came out, no one was doing that. Because I remember when I was talking about mixing and blending 80s with hip-hop and 80s with, you know, soul, R&B, that type of vibe. People were like, what? Like, a lot of the producers did not understand what I wanted to do.
I hear ya.
So I didn't put it on there because it was just, I didn't know if people wouldn't get it, you know, if it would be too much. So yeah. I held it. But then I was like, I'm going to do it because that's just really what I want to do. So I ended up putting it on an album a few years later.
Right, good for you. Yeah, from now, that's what you're going to be doing, aren't you, Amory? Whatever your mind's telling you that you, if it's the good thing to do it, you're just going to go do it. Put it on there.
So that yeah, I'm about just doing it. And, you know, I think a lot of times the listeners and a lot of the fans and just people out there in general just seem a lot more receptive to different stuff. And I think people are just a little more open, you know, even with fashion, just with everything. Everyone's kind of a little more open, I think, these days.
And you know what, as well, why they're more open with the music? Because I'm actually going to be going to a seminar soon about are we doing enough for new music and things like that. But I think that the reason why they're more susceptible to new stuff is that the stuff out there these days is a bit boring. Do you not find that? A lot of the music out there, Amory, at the moment, is just, it's not really saying nothing. You can answer that. Well, you can be honest.
No, I was going to say, you know, I think about that sometimes, but then I always think that's what everyone always says about the new music that comes out. And it was funny because, like, we just had this discussion, like, the other day. And I was like, is it, because it's easy to say, what is this? Oh, my gosh, change the radio station again and again. But at the same time, I'm like, isn't this what every generation always says that? And I'm like, oops. You start to wonder, like, okay, is it me? Is this corny, or is this really corny? I feel like, okay, this might be corny, but maybe this is what is hot. I'm confused. Either my ears are getting old, or
no, it's not your ears.
Or this is really corny.
it's not your ears.
I think it's something to think about. Because I really don't know, but if you think about it, everyone, every generation, and not even every single generation, it's like people that are like 5 years apart. They always feel differently about the music that the people 5 years younger than them are doing. And so it's like, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. The thing is, it's hard for us.
Does that mean things are just going on a downward spiral? Or does that just mean that people are getting old? I don't know.
No, I'm not going to go with the old one myself personally.
So things are just getting whack.
Yeah.
Things get whack sometimes. I mean, there is such a thing as whackness, because if you think about it, some of the music that was out a long time ago, people will say now, like, oh, that was really corny. And then you'll have other people like, I told you that was corny when it came out, but y'all thought it was hot.
No one ever listens to that, I hear you. But put it this way, as a presenter, it gets hard for us, because if the more, you know, when we get good albums like the one you're putting out, when we got good albums like that, we get really happy. We've got an artist over here called Corinne Bailey Ray. She's just put out a good album, which we're loving. I'm even loving Snoop's Malice in Wonderland. I featured that one. When I get an album that I really like, it's cool. But when you're getting stuff that's just being fired at you and it's just rubbish, as a presenter, you're like, well, let me just dig back into the archives and play this song from 2006. The new stuff is just so rubbish. We get stuck. It's rubbish. And we don't really want to play it. So if you got your stuff and you're putting it out and you think it's a little bit different, you play that, because we'd be like, ah, we like that. Something different about it. We're going to play that rather than the normal, oh, here
that's
we go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, see, that's it. So
it's awesome that you do that. You still play what you want, because a lot of the DJs, they don't even play what they want anymore.
I know.
And some of them are not allowed to really play what they want. Ooh. But that's, you know,
independent.
DJs, like the lifeblood of music, too.
We're an independent station.
A popular music.
Yeah, no, we're an independent station, so thank the Lord we're an independent station, so we go where the music is good.
And that's you know, that's honestly what keeps music alive, especially like popular music, because if you have the suits telling you what to play, then it's not authentic. It's not the whole, even the movement. So many DJs in the past, like, the DJs are the ones who break the records.
Yeah.
The DJs are the ones who let everybody else know what's new.
Mm-hmm.
And once you kind of like take that power away from the DJs, it can really result in like really stale radio, I guess.
I'm going to take that bit out as well.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, so I'll say it. I'm going to edit that little bit out. So when I'm talking about any particular stations I'm going to play, when you take out the DJs being able to play what they want, you get stale music. Stick some bombs and some shattered glass behind that one. Definitely, Amory. I like that. If you just joined us, don't know where you've been. We're talking to the absolutely gorgeous and talented Amory right now on the line. You've missed tons. Still going to be playing Heard 'Em All. I know it's not the title track off the album, but I actually like this one. I didn't bring the Lil Wayne one. I didn't bring the one with Lil Wayne. I bought the original one. So I'm going to play Heard 'Em All before you actually leave us today. But tell them how they can find out some more about you as well, what's happening, where you're going to be putting up when you're coming over. Is it going to be on your site, your website?
They'll definitely have it on the Def Jam site when I'm coming through. And I'm sure that my Twitter, I don't use my Twitter for, hey, this is what I'm doing today, let me think about this. Mm. That's cool, too, but I usually use my Twitter just for letting the fans know, like, information pertaining to that kind of stuff. So, my Twitter, it's me, A. Marie. You probably have information on there from myself or from my label or management about when I'm coming out, so people can know where I am. Mm.
I like the fact that she's admitted
that. But I'll be there soon.
That's cool. I'm glad. Huh? I like the fact that you've admitted that. You've said that you don't use it to do that tittle-tattle talk. Because some people, Sade's rolling her eyes. I've read some things on Twitter. I don't need to read the gossip magazines anymore, Amory. I just go onto Twitter and I read what this artist is doing and that artist is doing. And someone put pictures up there of their wife's bottom and he really shouldn't have done that. And while she was bending over and her knickers.
Really crazy.
It's mad. I love it.
I think it's crazy because, you know, it's a new time and it's like social media, but it's like anytime anyone gets something new, they go crazy with it. Mm. And I'm sure like later on people won't be so crazy because sometimes people forget that Twitter is akin to talking and some people just talk too much. You don't need to know all that information. So, you know, they just have to put it on there. And it's just, you know, whatever. Some stuff should just be in a journal. You know how people used to keep journals back in the day?
Or the blogs. Just stick with the blogs.
Some people, they do their Twitter like it's a diary.
Yeah,
like, dear Twitter, so this is my innermost personal thoughts, and this is what I did. It's like, TMI, TMI.
What's TMI? What is TMI?
Hmm?
What is TMI? Am I lost?
Oh, TMI. Yeah. Too much information.
Oh, there we go. We got one. I'm going to start using that.
Like someone's wife's bottom. It's like, TMI. No TMI. Thanks. Oh. No thank you.
There you go. I'm going to start with that. TMI. Oh, Sade, TMI, baby. That's just TMI for me. I got another email here for you from Mike. Thanks very much for taking time to email in, Mike. He wants to know if there's any artists that you really want to collab with. Are there some out there that you really want to collab with?
Well, you know, I have to think about that.
Look, Mike, you've done.
You know, I think, Coldplay and the Killers were always up there.
Right. Oh, Coldplay.
I think it would be kind of cool.
Maroon 5. Maroon 5. I like Maroon 5.
Maybe Sting, maybe.
Really? Sting?
That'd be kind of interesting.
That really would be interesting.
Mm. I think that would be really, really cool.
So you've got Coldplay in there.
Yeah,
you've
I have
got
to think
Killers.
About that. Because I've had my list of the... that's been the same kind of for a few years now. Mm. I'm like, if I change the list or add someone to the list, that probably add Sting on there.
Okay, so we've got three so far anyway then. So we've got Sting, we've got the Killers, and we've got, my brain just went down. Oh, Coldplay. Yeah, Chris.
I love them.
Chris Martin. I love Maroon 5. Maroon 5 is one of my favourites. I really, but
yeah,
I suppose he's been done to death, isn't he? He's worked with quite a lot of people, hasn't he, the singer of Maroon 5? A lot.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll go with Coldplay this time then. I totally agree with that one.
Yeah.
Right, so your website address, please, hun, before we let you actually run off, poor thing. Kept her on the phone for about 40 minutes now. What is your website address?
It's me, A. Marie, on the Twitter. That's the best one. It's me, A. Marie.
Right, the new album, In Love and War, is out, coming out end of April. A. Marie should be coming over. Keep checking on the Twitter to find out. Go buy.
Oh, no, album in June.
Oh, it's June. See that, hun, I would say May, weren't I? I was getting the wrong
album
date before.
In June,
so the album's coming out in June.
I'll be there at the end of April.
The thing is, it's out in June, but you can actually still buy it now. You can buy it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was trying to figure out, too.
You can.
I was like, talking to someone from the label, and they were like, it's out, but not really totally out. So I was like, what does that mean exactly? And they're like, well, you can get the, I guess, the export of it from here. But I was like, okay.
Hey, Marie, darling, I loved having you on. Thank you very much for taking so much of your day out for us here on
Colourful. No, thank you for having me, and I hope to see you soon.
Colourful Radio.